watch that he puts you under them. Don't ever take it for granted. It is well with us in Jesus' name. Amen. I bring you greetings from my lover. Hallelujah. Whom I love with all my heart and soul and might, and pancreas and duodenum and jejunum. Hallelujah. I love him even with my toes. Glory to God. He couldn't be here, but we're thankful that he has allowed me to come. Nah, hallelujah. Can you turn to your neighbor and give your neighbor a sweet smile? Sweet, oh. It's a very sweet one. Say, how you doing, neighbor? Say, what's up, neighbor? Okay, say, Happy New Year, neighbor. Say, Happy Anniversary, neighbor. Glory to God. All right, let's try this one. Say, how you doing, millionaire? How you doing, billionaire? In Naira? You started adding the different currencies. Let's say, in dollars, in pound sterling, in Japanese yen. Oh yeah, let's go. Let's go. In euro, hallelujah. In Chinese yuan, in every currency of the world. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Most precious Father, we're so thankful for all that you said to do in our midst today. Let your word come forth with power. Let it give understanding to the simple. Let it be wisdom in the hearts of men and women, of the teenagers, of the children, of the young adults. Let it be word that will strengthen your people to be all that you want them to be in the name of Jesus. Let this word be a word that will produce global industries in the name of Jesus. Let this be a word that will turn somebody from being a dependent on others to being a provider of labor in the name of Jesus. Let this be a message that testimonies upon testimonies will abound of lives that have been changed and have been transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let this be a word that will bring unusual prosperity into the work and the businesses of your people present here and who will listen also later in the name of Jesus. And ahead of time, we give you all the glory. We give you all the praises, oh God. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Do we love the Lord this morning? Let's celebrate him and then you may be seated. Hallelujah. With me this morning are two of our very, very precious leaders, Deacon Taye Akonde, as well as Minister Sunday Olorinjo. Please help me give them a big God bless you. Thank you. We appreciate you. Christians in the workplace. That's what we want to deal with. Godly work ethics. Now, I want you to understand that it doesn't matter which country you are living in, you are going to work. And like Senior Pastor Reverend Tunde said, some of you, the only thing on your mind is how you are going to Japa. Japa, Japa, Japa. In fact, I'm so delighted the church is full. I'm like, it looks as if Abeokuta people are not Japaing like Lagos people. Hallelujah. You know, I was saying recently, I said, some people, but virtually every Christian in Nigeria today wants to japa. Some people are just here. They are here. You are seeing them like this, but they are not here. Their spirit is already in London. Some of them, their spirit is in Canada. Talk to me. Talk to me. Some people, their spirit is already where? Australia. Which one again? Some God, their spirit is in Togo. Shoko. Well, if Australia is difficult, and US is not working, give me Togo. Just give me somewhere apart from Nigeria. But let me tell you this. No matter which country it is you go to, you will work. In fact, maybe you don't know this. You will work more if you go to Canada than you ever worked in Nigeria. You see how we talk about building house in Nigeria? How many of you, you've already built a house? Say, thank God I got a house. Listen, and most of you, you've built your house without debt, Abi. It's yours, no mortgage. Abroad. Where you have a house, you are paying mortgage for 30 years. Sometimes 35, some people are paying mortgage for 40 years. So let's calculate. And you can't just buy, you must have down payments of about 15% before you can buy the house. So you start working. Before you can even have the 15%, you're already like 30. Thank you. You know, you're already like 30. And that's assuming you started working early. Okay. So help me add 30. You now finally gather the down payment. Help me add 30 to 40 years of mortgage. How old will you be? If within this time, you miss your mortgage for any significant length of time, that house is gone. In Nigeria, you build your house. The house is your house. Abi? You leave it for your children. You leave it for your grandchildren. In fact, some of us finished building one. After we built it, we've lived in it for like 10 years. I said, I'm tired of this house. We go and build another one. Or we say, there's a new estate somewhere. The truth is, because I think it's important I start by establishing that. The truth is, you prosper more here in Nigeria if you have a good job. If you are not lazy and you are hardworking and you are serving God faithfully and you are applying the wisdom of God, you actually prosper more here and you end up laying in store more here. You see, most of these countries, I've been to them. And I see Nigerians and I see even the ones who are, you know, Caucasians that were born there and all that their generations have lived there. We enjoy a lot here in Nigeria. How many of you pay tax? How many of you pay tax? What if I tell you you don't pay tax? The only people that pay in Nigeria that pay tax are the ones who work in a company or corporation where they deduct the tax from source. Why would I still tell those people that they are not paying tax? Because any other side money that they made, they don't declare it. So are they paying tax? Abroad, you will pay tax. By fire? They say two things are compulsory when you live abroad. Death and tax. Because if you don't pay and the government comes after you, the one that they will now make you pay. Don't say, okay. Don't say, okay. So tap your name. Do you still want to jackpot? All right. Godly work ethics. So there was this Nigerian. He'd lived in Nigeria for some time and then he moved abroad. And then he applied for this job. And it was a job that they'll pay him a lot of money. It was a very good job, you know. And when he went for the interview, you know, he was praying and praying. He said, God, what do I say? What do I say when I get there? Because a lot of people, there are people who are as qualified as me, and they've already gone for this interview. What can I say that will make a difference? And then he got this inspiration that God gave him. So when he got there and it was time for the interview, sat down with the board. And then he said to them, I know you've already interviewed a lot of experienced people. But the one thing that I can promise you, if you employ me, is that I will give you 130%. The chairman of the company looked at him and said, okay, excuse us, you know, just leave and all that. So he left the place. So as soon as he left the place, they looked at one another and said, what's 130%? And the other said, we don't know. Then the chairman said, well, let's employ him and find out. After 4 years, he decided to move on to another company. The whole organization gathered together to throw him a send-off party. And then the chairman said, when you came, you made this statement that if we employ you, you will give 130%. But we want to tell you that not only did you give 130%, you gave more than 130%. Let's celebrate Jesus. That should be the testimony of every Christian that is working in an organization. Whichever organization that you're working in, you should not just give 100%, you should give what? 130%. As a Christian, in everything to do, you must understand that you are first of all a Christian. And this view must affect every area of your life. It doesn't matter which country you find yourself. You are first of all what? A Christian. In fact, you should, I know a lot of us are chasing all kinds of pali. Even me. I don't mind if I can get a second passport. Not because I want to live abroad. I don't want to keep applying for visa. Do you understand what I'm saying? I remember one particular country that we normally go to every year. They held our passport for over 6 weeks. And we had other countries we needed to go to. In fact, there was one we had to request that they should send our passport back, that we need to travel to another place. That when we come back, we will now submit the passport. So we just thought, you know what? It's time to get a foreign passport where we won't be needing visas. Amen? But listen to me. Whether you have green passport, red passport, black passport, blue passport, hello, which color are you choosing? Eh? Yellow passport. Eh? Which country is that one? I'm not sure I know any country that is yellow passport. But listen carefully to me. The passport that you carry, and you must always be aware of and never lose sight of it, is your heavenly passport. Glory to God. You are first of all a heavenian before you are any other thing. And that awareness, that consciousness, you must carry with you everywhere. The principles of the kingdom must govern how you behave and what you believe at all times. Greed and dishonesty should never be a part of you. But greed and dishonesty is what describes the typical Nigerian at the workplace. Nigerians steal. Even you as a human being, if you are not careful, they will steal you. Remember when my father was alive? So we would get him people, you know, because he was 97 before he passed. So we know when he got so old, we'll get him some people to work with him. After they work with him, they say, this person is, you know, stealing my money. No, the person has to go. We'll get another one. This is stealing my money. The person has to go. We'll get another one. One day I announced, I said, Daddy, you have to learn to manage all these people. It doesn't matter. I mean, how much are they saying? He said, what was it I said? I should keep allowing them to steal until one day, when they finish stealing everything and there's nothing else to see, they now cuckoo steal me. How many of you know they are stealing people now? They will not steal you. In the mighty name of Jesus. But what am I talking about? Nigerians are so dishonest. They steal so much. But for us believers, that presents us an unusual opportunity. Because if we can now be those people of integrity, those people who will never lie, who will never steal, who will never cheat, then we stand out wherever we are. And God promotes us and takes us to heights that unbelievers will never get to. Employ Nigerians in your poultry. They will steal your eggs. Is it not so? When they finish stealing your eggs, what will they do? They will start stealing the chicken. In fact, some of them, when you are not there, they will kill, you know, twist the head of the chicken. So when you come back, they say, the chicken is there. So that you tell them to what? Take the dead chicken away so they can go and eat the chicken. That's why a lot of businesses in Nigeria start. They don't endure more than 10 years because of stealing. One particular Nigerian started this company and he found out that if he employed the first set of people, just found out that their profit was being stolen by people. He sacked them. Employed another set of people. Once again, he profit was being stolen. He employed another third set of people. Once again, profit. He said, enough is enough. I'm not employing Nigerians in managerial positions again. So you know what he did? He went to India and brought some Indians. And those Indians do not steal. He said, things are so bad even now that any Nigerian is sending to the bank, he gets security for them. Not security so that armed robbers will not attack them, but security so that the staff themselves will carry the money to the bank and not steal the money. You know, listen to this. Do you know that if you are not stealing as much as you are stealing, your organization will pay you more? All the government workers who are here, say yeah! Government workers do not steal. Or do they? In fact, our elected politicians do not steal. I remember one of them that was a former governor. I won't mention his name. Was a former governor. He became a minister. He now said one day, I think he was having his birthday or something. He now said, yeah, one thing people don't know about me is that I don't like money. I said, eh, before uncle. No, you don't like it. You love it. Somebody say, if you become governor, will you be happy with your salary? Talk to me. Will you be? Some of you are like shaking your head. Pastor, salary ni konkoleto. But as believers, it should be enough for us. We should be satisfied with our wages. Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 6 to 13. I hope you are getting something from this message. All right, we'll go forward. We'll go forward. We'll try to pick up pace. Nobody say, Titus chapter 2. Verse 9 says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. What's purloining? What does it mean to purloin? To steal? Talk to me, everybody. To tap, to fap, to wrap. What are the other slangs that they have for it? Somebody said it's forwarding. Just forward some things that belong to the company, you know, they just forward it to their house. But the Bible says that as believers, we must not purloin, but we must show all good fidelity, that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and what? And godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might what? Redeem us from a few iniquity. Redeem us from only some iniquity. Redeem us from only major iniquity. What does it say? That he may redeem us from all iniquity and what? And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You are a peculiar people. That's why God saved you. Glory to God. That he has brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light, that you may show forth his glory. Look quickly at Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 9, very quickly. Servants, be obedient to them who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in what? In singleness of your heart, sincerity of your heart. No hypocrisy, no pretend. Not the one that before them you are saying, yes sir, yes sir. Once they turn their back, see him. Said, we as believers should be obedient to our masters in the flesh with fear and trembling in singleness, with a pure heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to man. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he what? Shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. The Bible says you should do service with goodwill. Not as though you are working in an organization or you are working for a man or you're working for a woman, but understanding that ultimately you are actually working for God. You are doing that service for God. God is the one who sees you. God is the one who is writing down everything you're doing. And ultimately, God is the one that will reward you. You see, let me tell you, there's really not much that any human being can give you. But God can take you from little and he can place you in a very high place. Are you listening to me? Tell your neighbor you can prosper exceptionally if you apply the principles in the word of God. Your wages should not determine your productivity. Say, lots of times, you say, you don't know I'm for what? What does that mean? We do the work with levity. They cannot come and die here. Now my father owned the business. Listen to me. If you work hard in an organization, one day, you will be the head of that organization. If the organization is thriving and is doing well, and because of your input is why they are moving from level to, after a while they will recognize your input and say, no, we need this person on the board. We need this person on the board. Hallelujah. You'll be needed on the board. If I tell three persons, I will be needed on the board. Oh yeah, name the board that you'll be needed. Name the company. Name the company. Say, I will be needed on the board of Chevron. I'll be needed on the board of Mobil. Come on. Let's name some companies. Which one do you want? I'll be needed on the board of directors of, hallelujah. Pastor, would I be playing Bula? I want people, wow. But when I'm saying Chevron, I'm saying Mobil, they're just looking at me like, no. If you mention some foreign ones, maybe then. Glory to God. It's all good. Listen to this. We do not use fraud to acquire wealth. Believers, we do not use fraud to acquire wealth. We don't do yahoo yahoo. Are there born again Christians that are doing yahoo yahoo? Answer now. Are there? Yes. There are born again Christians that are doing yahoo. They are born again, so called born again Christians. Me, I don't believe they are born again. Because if the rapture should take place, they will not go in the rapture. If the trumpet should sound, they will not go in the rapture. It's always my prayer that if the trumpet sounds, every church, that is a genuine church, that all the church will be empty in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right? We don't use fraud. We don't do romance scams. So we must have a job. Everybody must have a job and start very early. I remember that when I was a teenager, you know, you young guys, teens church, you are not too young to have a job. There are things that you can do. I remember that when we were young, we would make coconut candy. How many of you remember? Some of you in your 50s, we'll wrap it in paper, isn't it? And then we'll go and sell it in the neighborhood. And we make some profit. By the time I got to university, I produced a book. I called it Word Graze, Grazing on the Word. But it was a, you know, it was a book of puzzles. Things in the Bible. And I remember I went to my mom. When I went, normally I save. And that's another thing that you must have as a Christian, as part of, you know, your lifestyle. Anyhow, so I wanted to do this. When I looked at the savings I had, it wasn't enough. So I went to my mom and I asked my mom for a loan. She asked me what I wanted to use. But I said, I want to publish a book. She was looking at me like, you want to publish? Maybe at that time, maybe I was like 19 or so. Okay? So she gave me the money as a loan. And I believe I gave back the loan. After I did the book, sold it, and made profits. Amen? When you are in university, you can have a job. Nowadays, there are online jobs that you can do and you can earn money. Praise the Lord. You see, all this attitude we have of beggy-beggy, I've noticed in every church, our own church inclusive, there are some people who come to church every Sunday and they are just waiting. They have marked all the fine cars. And they know how they'll go and position themselves as soon as service is over. Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Hello. The children have not eaten, sir. Are they his children? Beggy. If you have a working culture, you don't need to beg anybody for anything. Many years ago, we had this two teenage ladies in church. They had a family of three. The mother will not come. Maybe occasionally she'll come and visit. But the children will come. One day, you know, we now called one of the children and we started talking to her, you know, finding out the home situation and all that. So you know what? What she now told us. She said their mother has taught them that when they come to church, they should look for the men who are rich. And that they should go and meet them and ask for money. But that they should not go when the wife is there. They should make sure they corner the man when the man is not there. And ask for money. I told them, that's not the way to live your life. Your mother will destroy your life. We don't beg. Hello? And we don't do aristo. You know what that means? We don't, as young ladies, we don't date men so that we can get money. We don't do it. Listen to this. Even if your parents have sent you to school without money, find something you can do. There are so many things you can do. There are so many. Do you know that there are some families that if they can find a trustworthy person, they don't mind you coming to babysit their children for some hours or doing school lesson for their children, and they will pay you well. School lesson. Just 2 hours in the evening. And you are going to that home and all that. If they are paying you 20K, you do so well, they will increase it to 30. You are doing so well, they start recommending you to some of their friends. Before you know it, just on home lesson, you are making over 150,000 naira every month. Woo, hallelujah. There's no reason for any one of us to be jobless or to be lazy. We can all be gainfully employed. All right? So, you must have a job. You can learn things now, like coding and cybersecurity. Learn some things online. Do you know that you can live in Nigeria and be earning money in dollars and in pounds sterling online? Which to me is the best. There are some people who are earning up to $5,000 every month and they are here in Nigeria. In fact, you know the interesting thing about some of those people. Some of those people even have other jobs that they are still doing in Nigeria. So that's like extra income for them. So those are some of the things that we can do. It's very, very important that you understand that work is good. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, that if a man will not work, let him also not what? Let him not eat. Let him not eat. And workers do not give excuses. They work. They work. Look quickly at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 13 to 15. Proverbs chapter 26. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah, hallelujah. All right. Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 13 says, the slothful man says, there's a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. As the dog turns upon his injury, so does a slothful man upon his bed. The slothful man, what does he do? He hides his hand in his bosom. It grieves him even to bring it into his mouth. Hallelujah. All right. What are the benefits of working? Number one, work keeps you out of trouble. When you are busy, it saves you from a lot of trouble. Are you listening to me? Number two, work makes your sleep sweet. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 12 that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he has eaten little or much. It's true. When you've worked hard, hey, you've done a lot of work, you get to your bed like this and the sleep comes and the sleep is sweet and deep and you even snore. Hallelujah. Snoring is good. Tap your neighbor, tell your neighbor, snoring is good. Hallelujah. Yeah. Sometimes I sleep and then I wake up and my husband looks at me and gives me like a smile and I'm wondering, was I snoring? He said, you're snoring this night. I'm like, I worked so hard yesterday. Thank God I slept well. Amen. And I think it's good when you as a wife, you sleep and you snore. Your husbands appreciate that you're a hardworking woman. Hallelujah. Work keeps you healthy. You're not working, you fall sick a lot. Work keeps you healthy. It gets your body system working. Work gives you food. Number five, work makes you a responsible person. People respect you when you have a job. It makes you a responsible person. Number six, work gives you opportunity to bless people from your wages. You can bless people. You can, strengthen homes. You can send a child that is not your own to school after you have sent all your own children to school. Can I hear an amen? Right. Number seven. Work helps you to learn new things and to improve yourself. Work helps you to learn new things and to improve yourself. You learn from the other people that you're working with. I remember there was a time in the church office in Lagos, we employed this guy, a graphic artist. We were paying him every month and all that. He would do all the designs for us. And we made him share an office with his supervisor. So anyway, after this guy had worked for some months, he just woke up one day and just said, in fact, he didn't even tell us he was leaving. He just didn't show up. And then they kept on calling him. And I was like, I'm not working again. Really? By the way, as a Christian, that's something you shouldn't do. You shouldn't just leave a job without notice. Most organizations will tell you that you should give them at least, what notice? 1 month. 1 month. All right. Anyhow, so he just left abroad. And we had a program coming up that we had thought that, okay, he's going to do all the design and all that. And I said, what are we going to do? Then this supervisor said, pastors, don't worry. I will do the design. He said, how? He said, I've been observing him when he's been doing things. I've been learning what he's been doing. I think I've gotten the hang of it and I can design. Do you know that? True, true. He sat down with the computer and designed. In fact, the design he did was even better than the one that we were paying the graphic artist for. And from that day on, he began to design different things for the, you know, for the church office. So you acquire skills. You learn new things when you work. Amen? It helps you to learn new things and improve. Number 8, it gives you new relationships. Some of you, the only way you are going to get married is if you go to work. Because your spouse-to-be is waiting for you where? At work. At work. I have a friend, I think she was already in her late 20s and all that. So she was working in this organization. And then, you know, she looked at this brother. They were both born again Christians. The brother looked at her, hallelujah. After 1 month of working, they were looking at one another, hallelujah. By like 3 months into the working, they started talking to one another, hallelujah. After like 8 months, it wasn't just talking, hallelujah. The talking was now progressing, glory to God. And she was realizing that during the lunchtime, they would always go for lunch together and the brother would pay. Hallelujah. A good brother always pays for lunch. And then she said, you know, then finally the brother declared that, you know, I would like to marry you and all that. So they started a relationship, you know. So then after a few months, the brother told her that, you know what, if you really want to enjoy me, you must respect me. My lady said, she looked at him. They are both university graduates. I said, okay. So he said, then the man traveled, you know, work assignments for like some weeks. And then he just came back. She said, when he came back, she didn't know what came over her. She just did like this, a car buzzer. Ah, said the man just hugged her and said, you are a wife. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. So going to work gives you new relationships. Listen to this. Sometimes your destiny is connected to people that you meet in your workplace. I'll share this true life story with you. We have this, you know, young man just started working in an oil company, and he was so good anyway. They kept on promoting him and all that until he became like a director. You know, then, I mean, he began to work in their global companies and all that. So after working in some of these places, for a year or so, then he moved. Anyhow, one day he gets a call and they let him know, we'd like you to come, you know, we're setting up a company and we want you to come. So he got there and then they told him, well, we're setting up this oil company. It's a new company. Somebody recommended you, said, if we want this company to succeed, you must be part of this board. And that once you're part of this board, the company will succeed. So he said, who mentioned my name to you? They mentioned the name of the person. He had to even be cracking his head to try to remember. They had worked in an organization some years before. But his work was so outstanding that this particular man remembered him and knew there was this grace that was upon him, that no matter what the project was, no matter how difficult, no matter how impossible, once he gets on it, the thing begins to move and, you know, they succeed at it anyhow. So then they now told him that, however, all of us are putting together, I think it was it $1 million or so? I don't quite remember now, you know? That all of us are putting together this. Maybe, I think it was more than $1 million. Anyhow, so he just told them that, sorry, me, I don't have that money. They said, no, we're not asking you to bring the money. We've decided to pay your own for you. And you'll have 20% shares. I think they were like 5 or so. You're going to have 20% shares. So he said, oh, if that's the condition, that's fine. So he said, yeah, put me on the board, you know. They put him on the board, registered it. They bought this oil field. And when they bought the oil field, they began to drill. And then when they started drilling, they struck oil. Hallelujah. And the oil was such a vast volume. So they decided, okay, we've struck oil. Let's just keep the company for some time. He said they'll just go to office. When they get there, they'll just drink coffee. Everybody will just move around and all that. Because their plan was, they get that oil field, they keep it for some time, they sell it and make profit. So anyhow, I think they put together about $5 million or so to set up the company. In the, you know, I think after 18 months or so. I don't think it was more than 2 years. Anyhow, they sold the oil field to another company for over, I think it was about $100 million. So he went away with about $20 million. Now listen to this story. When the new company bought the oil field that had vast dumps of oil, they started drilling and they couldn't find oil. land. They had to send. And we say, what's going on? He said, he laughed. He said, you don't understand. See, there's an anointing that comes upon you that makes the impossible possible. Are you listening to me? God will put some deposits in the ground when you are the one involved with it, when God can trust you. And let me tell you something. When that brother got that money, he's somebody who had been a member of the church when the church first started many years ago in Ibadan. He remembered us. He began to send us money. First he sent a 10,000. I remember that story so well. We were in Kenya having holiday. Listen to this. Then we walked into the restaurant. And we saw this guy who was serving us. And we asked him, what's your name? He mentioned his name. The name was the name of his brother. As soon as he mentioned his name, we'd lost touch with this brother. As soon as he mentioned the name mentioned his name, we all said, oh. That's why I look and say, oh. That's like brother so-and-so. We just mentioned his name like that. Nothing else. We went to bed that night. When we woke up early in the morning, there was an alert for $10,000. The next day, there was an alert for $10,000. The next day, there was an alert for $10,000. The next day, there was an alert for $10,000. Yeah, my husband was telling me that. I said, he said, Lord, what's going on? We need to call her. My husband said, no. In fact, I'm trusting God that this will get to this amount. I'd never seen anything like that before. So we called this brother. What's going on? He said, Pastor, God has blessed me. And God said, I should give something substantial to you and to the ministry that you will never doubt that God called you. He said, the way I'm doing this everyday thing is taking too long. Let me just send all the remaining as a lump sum. I won't tell you how much. But this is to tell you that when you have godly work ethics, it will speak for you both now and in the future. When you work hard now, it's not just for now. When you're a person of integrity, it's not just for now. It's going into your future. You don't know who it is that is noting how much of the truth you tell. You don't know who is noting how such a person of integrity that you are. Listen to this. We have another lady in church. She's currently one of our leaders. She's never applied for a job in her life. Somebody say never. Never. Why? She starts working, and she's working in very good companies, top companies in Nigeria. So she starts working in this company, she's earning money, everything is going well, and then she will get a call, come for interview. You mention the name of the company, it will be a well-known company. She will be like, but I didn't apply. Say, well, somebody mentioned your name, and we want you to come. And when she goes for the interview, they've already made up their mind, they are giving her the job. Why? They found out she does not steal. They make her storekeeper. If I mention the name of some of the companies, you understand what I'm saying. They make her the manager of the store. They know she will not steal. That's the way we've raised our people. You don't take anything that doesn't belong to you. Not a shoe latchet. If it's not yours, you don't take it. Not a cup. If it's not yours, you don't take it. If it's not been given to you officially by the company, don't take it. Be satisfied with your wages. Let's celebrate Jesus. One day, Sama, somebody from here will send vast, that will be over $1 million in the mighty name of Jesus. Now I say, how many more minutes do I have? All right, okay. So work gives you opportunities for soul winning. If you're a born-again Christian, see your workstation as a soul-winning station. See that place as a field God has given you for you to actually get souls saved and people discipled. Number 10, work gives your life balance. Everything will be a blur if you don't have work. How many of you have ever gone on vacation? Anybody here? You've ever gone on vacation? Let me see. You've gone on holiday before. Anybody? Anybody, you've gone on holiday. Even if you went to, where now? Talk to me. Where? Huh? Talk. I want you to contribute. You know when we were going on honeymoon? You know where we went for our honeymoon? Oh, you are laughing. All right, it's a holiday. But the point I want to make, even if you go to Atlanta for your holiday, wherever you go all over the world for your holiday, the point I want to make is what makes the holiday is the fact that it's a distraction from your normal work. If you don't work, after a while, even the holiday will become boring. Amen? So, working gives your land balance. Now, very quickly, how do you get a job? Use your talents. Your talents are special abilities that God has endowed you with. Check your body. Some of you may not know that you have some unusual body parts that you can use as a talent. Everybody, do this. Do this, everybody. Try. Do it. So if you do this and your tongue reaches here, that's a talent. You can use it to entertain people and make a lot of money. Hallelujah. Some of you young people, your body is such that it's so flexible that you can put your hand like this and put your feet, Abby, and turn all the way around. If you find out that your body is flexible, like that's a natural talent God has given you. Go and be entertaining people at children's parties and be making a lot of money. Hallelujah. How many of you know Ellen Paul? She has a natural talent. What's her natural talent? She talks like a little child. Even her laughter. You'll be one. Very good. So she's an entertainer making a lot of money with her talent. So discover your talent. Discover the natural ones God has given you. Amen? Number two, don't be discouraged by people's negative comments about your talent, especially if the talent is unusual. There's a man that his eyes, when he does this, the eye will come out of the socket. Everything. And then he do like this again, the eye will go back. Now he's an entertainer in America. Going to do like this to people. Whoop, you see, it comes out. Of course, sometimes when they invite him for children's parties, the children cry. Hallelujah. But it's all part of the fun. Is it not? I mean, remember when we used to visit Santa Claus? Amasuku. Isn't it? But they still take us for Santa Claus. And even though we cry, we are happy at the end because we never leave Santa Claus empty. Hallelujah. There's always a gift that we take away from Santa Claus. Amen? All right. So what am I talking about? Don't be discouraged if people have negative comments. God is going to use that time. Number three, determine what it is that you want. What kind of job do you want? What kind of job do you want? God will give you whatever it is that you want. And if you want nothing, what are you going to have? Nothing. And if you want something, what are you going to have? Something. Help me ask your neighbor, how much would you like to earn? Eva, ask your neighbor for me, how much would you like to earn every month? Just say it by faith. This is a faith church. Oh. Just say it by faith. And believe that as you have said it, God will bring it to pass. Say it by faith. Tell your neighbor, I want to be earning so, 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 and so. In fact, if you work for your husband, and your husband is sitting next to you, tell him an amount that is 5 times what you are earning now. Hallelujah. God will provide. Amen. Glory to God. Number four, ask God for a job. Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what? All that we ask or imagine. Number five, get qualified. Go to school. Go to school. Minimum standard of education for you should be tertiary institution, especially if you are still young and you are under 50. In fact, sorry, I forgot I'm over 50 now. If you are still under 60. Like Reverend was saying, I keep going to school. In fact, when I went to film school in the U.S., I spent like 2 years there. Spent some weeks, I'll come back. Spend some weeks doing another course, and then I'll come back. When I went, as far as I can remember, virtually all the classes I went to, I was the oldest person in class. But thank God for my stature. Nobody knew my age. Hallelujah. Even your stature can be a talent. Yeah? Even look at you, you are small like that. They already underestimate you. Then you come like, you're like, woo! It's good. Hallelujah. It's good. Some of you sisters, you don't want to marry short men. Is it the one that gave himself height? It's not God that gave him that height. Short men love you more. Hallelujah. All right, let's get back to the word. It's true. What if I'm a man? Are you now saying no lady will marry me? Kill me. Anyhow. So what am I talking about? Go to school. You see, even this jackpot that we're all talking about, you know the only reason jackpot is possible is what? Because people have education. Help me celebrate our parents who gave us a good education. Please. I remember my dad would tell us, sometimes when we go and demand for money and all that, and we'll be acting as if it's our right to be demanding for that money. You know what he would tell us? Oh, education. Education, no. Anybody, if you want to go to school, more school, I'll pay for it. You finish your first degree, you want to go for, you know, master's or whatever. I have a sibling that did a first degree, went back to medical school, went back to study medicine. And my dad paid for both the first degree and the second degree. Listen to this one. It will shock you. Even though she was married before she went to medical school, he still paid for that education. Give your children solid education. It is more important that they have solid education than that you build a house. Are you listening to me? Because I see some people, they won't send their children to school, but they will buy. There's no Ashwebi they will not buy. Yet, their child does not have money to buy WAEC or JAMB form. That's foolishness. I remember we had a relative who was living with us, lived many, many years with us. He said, the one thing that he's gotten from my father, and he's practicing it, and he's, you know, working for him tremendously, is the fact that he knows he must send all his children to school. So he makes sure primary school, secondary school, tertiary institution, even though he himself, I'm not even sure if he went to secondary school or finished secondary school. Do you understand what I'm saying? Education. Amen? Tap your neighbor and say, you are not too old to go back to school. Hallelujah. Number 6, update your knowledge. If you stay with the knowledge you had yesterday without making new discoveries and learning new things, the knowledge will soon be outdated. Number 7, retain knowledge. The mind loses information if the information is not reinforced over a period of time. Number 6, read regularly. Read books regularly. You see, we have a school. And one of our strategies as a school is that every day when the children come to school, they must read first. So we encourage the children to arrive in school from around 7. And then, of course, sometimes, you know, they're late and all that. But then we've made this thing whereby they must go to the library first and go and read. Now, you know what we found out? All those children, as they leave our school and they enter secondary school, they are still readers. Any book that they find anywhere in their house, they read it. In fact, one parent was telling me now they had to be hiding books from their child because it doesn't matter what topic the book. Once it's a book, like, they pick it and they start reading. You won't really see them playing games and all that. It's reading. In fact, one of the parents sent me a photo recently. There's a book I wrote called Give Me a Spouse or I Die. So she has this child that has just finished from her school. I think he's in JS1 or JS2. He now picked book, sat in one corner of the chair, and was reading the book, Give Me a Spouse or I Die. So the mother snapped the picture and showed me as I passed by. I don't know what's happening. No. I don't know why he's reading. He may say like that. You know? I said, no, that's Agate children. Any book that is in their house, they will read it. So I saw the boy recently. I think that was still yesterday. So, and we're talking, and he said to me, I said, I hear you started reading, Give Me His Bible. I said, no, Pastor. What's happening is I want to read all the books that you have written. So I'm reading all the books one by one. Readers are leaders. So you find out that these children go to secondary school and they are exceptional because they have already mastered reading. Okay? Let's master reading. Some of this social media thing, we're always posting things and we snap ourselves. Instead of all that snapping. Hallelujah. Bury yourself in a book. Receive knowledge from a book. That knowledge you receive, it will transform your life forever. Let's celebrate Jesus. So make it a habit to read. Read newspapers. Read informative magazines. Read the Bible. The Bible is compulsory daily read. Number 9 is to communicate effectively. Pronounce words properly. Don't just talk like a Nigerian. Talk like an international person. Amen. Work on yourself. Work on your diction. Do your best. Many Nigerians go to school abroad. They do masters abroad. And then they are looking for a job. They find out they are going for interviews. They are qualified, but they are not employing them. You know the reason? Accent. So you have to work on it, okay? Hello. Smile at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, how you doing? Say, my name is Adeola Ojo. I'm from Lagos. I'm doing extraordinary things for God. That's how our students in Agate speak. That's how they speak, you know, the school. We've taught them to speak like that and all that. Everywhere they are, you know, to speak like that. Sometimes they don't get it right, but we keep encouraging them. And then we told our teachers to, this session, when we started, we told our teacher, we said, look, you too, you must start speaking as a foreigner. We got somebody to train them. So there was one of them, she's really like maybe in her late 50s or 60s. So she too started speaking, hello, how are you today? So he said when she would get home, and she would say to her husband, good morning, darling, how are you doing today? The husband would laugh. I told her, I said, don't be discouraged. Just continue to do it. I said, one day you will find out that that language is producing greater things for you. Let's celebrate Jesus. Right? Apply for a job. The job is not going to come and meet you at home. You have to apply, go online and apply. Send your CV to agencies. Look for newspaper adverts. Tell friends, tell family members. You know, tell organizations that you need a job. Make sure your CV, your curriculum vitae, is well prepared. Look for somebody who can prepare it well for you without lying. It is well with us in Jesus' name. Next is to prepare for employment. You're going to do an aptitude test. Find the rules that govern that company. Find the rules that govern the organization. Find what the goals of the organization is. It can be funny when you go for an interview and they're asking you, why do you want us to employ you? Or why do you want to work in this organization? And you're looking blank. And you don't have anything to say. That's also why sometimes some people don't get employed. You must be able to say, I want to work in this organization because this organization is right now the third in Nigeria. They've been outstanding. In fact, last year, their profits were so and so. This year, the first quarter that they declared, you know, the company has declared so and so. I believe that if I come on board, I will be an asset to the company. I'm trusting that with my input, the quarter profit can double by the next quarter. You will get the job. Hallelujah. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. And then when you're going for the interview, make sure you make proper preparation. Dress well. Find out what the people in that organization wear and dress well. Don't go and wear things that will reveal your body, all the cuts, all the slants, all the everything. And think, no reputable organization will employ you if you are like that. And then make sure you have good manners. All right, take into consideration the prevailing culture around you. Be bold. You don't have to be afraid. If it's your job, it's your job. Amen? You don't have to be afraid. You can be very confident and present yourself well, and you're going to get the job. Tap three persons all around you and tell them you're going to get the job. And after you get the job, make sure you do the job well. Make sure you enjoy the job. Make sure you don't keep changing jobs. Be a blessing to your company. Please, God, make sure you settle down really, really fast once you get to that company. And make sure that the company is being productive because you are there. I believe, listen to this, I believe it is wrong to work in an organization and the organization is not making profits, but you are taking salary. The reason you are there is so that they can make profits. They must make profits. They must make profits. Amen? It's not right to collect a salary for, you know, work that we also do not do. I think that's another thing that happens in Nigeria. There are some people that they've put their names on some organizations and they've never worked there. How many of you understand what I'm saying? And they collect money every month. No, believers do not do that. Amen? What happens if you work in an organization, your salary is 100,000? Then mistakenly they transfer 1 million to you. What will you do? What will you do? Especially in this time and age. How much is a bag of rice? Eh? It's like 50 something or 60 something thousand. Huh? So what will you do? 1 million just dropped and they put their December salary. Come on now. Do you call them immediately to say, please, I don't understand. I think my salary is 100,000, but you have paid me 1 million. Or do we first spend the money? Then we now call them. So that even if they say, it's a mistake, or you are just going to say, maybe I'll be returning the money gradually. It's all good. Amen? It's all good. Tell your neighbor it's all good. Whatever your profession, I want you to understand that God wants you blessed. God wants you prospering. We as believers should be the top earning people in this country, and we will be the top earning people in this country in the mighty name of Jesus. Rock Foundation members will be the best paid anywhere and in any organization in the mighty name of Jesus. If I prophesy into your life, Whatever salary you are earning last year, this year it will double in the mighty name of Jesus. By next year, that salary will triple in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever it is that you have laid your hands upon, it will prosper exceedingly and mightily in the mighty name of Jesus. God will bless all the work of your hands in the name of Jesus. And it will give you the wisdom that you need to prosper in the name of Jesus. Whatever your profession, you are going to be an ace in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know that God has wisdom to make you understand? They're telling me that maybe I should take some questions for a few minutes. So I'm rounding up a few minutes, and we'll take some questions. How many of you have questions? You have questions that you like to ask. We learn a lot too when we ask questions, okay? The questions too can be written down. All right, it's all good. All right. Tell me around, tell anybody, all right. Tell your neighbor it's all good. If I tell your neighbor, I'm looking for people to work in my company. Do you want to work for me? Say, I pay well. I pay in Naira. If the company does well, I will pay you in dollars. Say, would you like to work? If I ask them, say, how much would you like to earn? How much would you like to earn in my company? Say, just name your salary. Let's do it by faith, though. Say, just name your salary. Name your salary. What are you naming? Hallelujah. Who is saying 1 million? Who is saying 2 million? Let's give a shout. Whatever your profession, God has the wisdom to make you an ace. Hallelujah. If you're an astronaut, he's Jehovah Shammah. If you are a broker, he's El Shaddai. If you are a boxer, he's the omnipotent God. Just one box, one punch from you, whoo, the guy is knocked out. And you take the $1 million. Hallelujah. If you are a caterer, he's the multiplier of bread and fishes. If you are a doctor, he's Jehovah Rapha. If you are an engineer, he's the strong tower. If you are a farmer, he's the Lord of the harvest. If you are a geologist, he's the rock of ages. If you are a homemaker, he's the builder and the maker. If you are an inventor, he's the creator of the universe. If you are a judge or a justice, he's the God of justice. If you are a king, he's the King of kings. If you are a lecturer, he's the only wise God. Hallelujah. If you are a lawyer, he's the advocate. If you are a mother, he's the all-breasted one. If you are a nutritionist, he's the bread of life. If you are an ophthalmologist, he sees everything. Glory to God. If you are a pastor, he's the chief shepherd. If you are a pharmacist, he's the balm of Gilead. If you are a queen, he's the Lord of all. If you are a radiologist, all things are naked and open to him with whom we have to do. So all your x-rays will be accurate and on point. Hallelujah. If you are a student, he's the omniscience God. So you as a student, you also know everything. If you are a teacher, his understanding is infinite. If you are an undertaker, he is the resurrection and he is the life. Oh, if you are a vocalist, his voice thunders and rolls, and yet it is still and is small. If you are a writer, he is the author and he is the finisher. If you are an exerciser and a bodybuilder, he gives power to the faint. If you are a youth worker, he is never weary. If you are a zoologist, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. He is the God of all. He has wisdom. He will give you wisdom and he will make you outstanding. Whatever your profession, you are going to be at the top in the mighty name of Jesus. God bless you.
I told you, she's the right woman for the job. I'm going to just take a break, and as you come back, I want her to just to rest. Wow, praise God. I was telling my wife, Reverend Diola can be so practical, so practical. You can sit down, thank you very much. So, so practical. That's over the years of laboring, praise God. You see, I read a book years ago that said evangelism is good. We have all these handbills, posters, big, big things in town. But that's not the best advert for the church. If you notice all these companies, they don't advertise their center. They advertise their products. If they're selling rice, they say somebody's cooking the rice and enjoying it. Remember that particular advert about particular soup that one woman was washing? She's a fisher. She's selling fish. And he said, it washed my body, something like that. They will take all these great artists or actors to advertise the product. And the product of Christianity is not a building, it's a people. the best advert for Jesus, the best evangelism is the believers. We'll change the signboard, but you are the greatest signboard for Jesus. And the best place that takes place is when we interact and interface with people in our workplaces. Praise the Lord. Pastors cannot be everywhere, but you are everywhere. Praise God, somebody. Before I ask her to come to just rest, I want to do something that I don't normally do. I want to appreciate some people. When you work hard, it affects the psyche of who you are working with. It brings blessing to them. A couple of years ago, we were looking for a security person to just work as a security officer at the gate. And then after different, they brought this guy who was a Muslim, still a Muslim. And he was so good at just doing security, minds his business, always working things out. And we just come to like him. And so we will pay the company and the company will pay him. So one day he just said, it's difficult for me. I can't cope that. So we asked what they are paying him and we saw that what we are paying him is not what they are paying him because they make their own money. So he said he's going to resign. I stood up and said, Yusuf, where are you going? He said, I'll look for another work. I said, you know what? You stop working with them, we start working for us. I will get you uniform. So we got him uniform. So dedicated, so quiet, not lousy. After a while, he told me, he said, I got to go do my, I want to get more education. I want to go and do my WAEC. I said, okay, fine. Yusuf, what do we do? I need somebody to be here on Sundays. You're a Muslim. He said, I'll come. And I asked him, I said, can you help me find somebody like you?
Amen. There's nothing as good as when you have a boss that pays you fairly. There's nothing as good as that. Amen. And thank you very much, VC. You really, really, please help. Let's celebrate him one more time. Okay, so let me go to this question. Hallelujah. There are some Christians that you're working under them. And they don't treat you well. What's the next thing to do? Well, what's the next thing to do if you're working for born-again Christians and they do not treat you well? Can you have a conversation with them? Before you have the conversation with them, though, pray. Hello. Number two, make sure they are not higher on fire. Because there are some people that if you just come and say, well, I want to have a discussion with you and all that. What do you want to say? You know, they already have that stance. Advise yourself. Amen. Change what you are going to discuss. Praise the Lord. But there are some people, especially those who tend to be cholerics, that they really, you know, there are different temperaments. But I found out that the temperament that is most difficult is choleric melancholics. Because they are perfectionists on one hand, and then they are power driven. So everything, be jabi jani, be abija. Why are you here this time? Why are you late today? If you have that kind of boss, I advise you, number one, pray. Number two, fast. Hello. Number three, somebody who is helping me there. Number three, what? Look for someone that is close to that person that can have a conversation with that person. Okay? But there are some that they don't mean harm. And actually, if you let them know that maybe there are some things they can adjust, they will be open to the conversation. All right. But the other thing I also want you to look at is you need to also be sure that you are not doing something wrong that is making them treat you unfairly. Because sometimes we complain about people, but we have not looked at ourselves. So it helps to ask a colleague to say, you know what? analyze me in this office. How do I behave? If you are rating my work over 100%, how would you rate it? If you are rating my productivity, how do you rate it? If you are rating me as a relator, do I relate well? All right? So find out. So that if it is that you need to make adjustments, please make adjustments. It is well with us in Jesus' name. I'm not really going to advise you to leave your job. Hello? Because good jobs are hard to come by. And also, let me also say this to you. Sometimes some of the hard things we go through in life is a preparation for promotion in the future, if we pass the test. So it's not everything that's any small thing. Because I've noticed a lot of young people are actually like that. Any small thing they don't like, I'm not going to take this. And they just walk away from the job. Meaning that some experience you should gain, you then don't gain it. Let me share this with you. I had this lady in the church. She was working in this organization. And she'd worked for some years then. The organization folded up. First of all, for like 2 years or so, she didn't have a job. Then she now got this offer for a job. And the people who set up that company were young guys. By this time, she was already, I think, in her late 30s. The people who set up the company were in their 20s. They were young guys, brilliant guys. You know, it was a computer-based company. So she came to me and said, well, I've got this job offer, but I'm not going to take it. I said, why? He said, well, you know, the people, they are very young boys and all that. And they are the ones that will be telling me what to do and all that. I said, you must take this job. I said, you have not had a job for 2 years. Finally, you have gotten an offer. I don't even want to. No excuses. You must take the job. So, of course, because she was an obedient church member, she went and took the job. She worked there for about 18 months. Then she got this big opening in a major global organization. Listen to this. Then she went for interview. Lots of people too were going for that interview. You know what she told me? Every question they asked her when she went for that interview was what she had learned from that company where she worked in 18 months. And so they gave her the job. Today, she's handling one of the major, you know, tech organizations in Lagos as the head now. So what am I saying to you? Sometimes you need to stay. Amen? And sometimes you need to work. It is well with us in Jesus' name. All right, this question says, I don't know if we have any other question or if we want to ask, but this question says, you mentioned offshore jobs. Are there sites you could recommend for such opportunities? Thank you, sir. Yes, one of the sites I can recommend is LinkedIn. LinkedIn.com. You know, LinkedIn, just type in Google and all that. You need to register. There are usually jobs posted, and there are some jobs that you can stay in Nigeria and actually do the jobs offshore. You know, Reverend Sudi and I was just discussing now that, you know, you know, working abroad, sometimes you do 2-3 jobs. Tap your neighbor, tell your neighbor, 2-3. Say the one we are doing in Nigeria is okay. Oh. Then he said to me, he said it's good for people to go, Abi. We get challenged. We let work ethics there, and we come back. Hallelujah. If I tell your neighbor, me, I'm not going anywhere. Say we stay here. We live here. We prosper here. We break through here. Say I not go jackpa. In fact, say everybody say this. So say I not go jackpa. I jackpa from jackpa. Hallelujah. I am a Christian. My boss claims he's a Christian, but sometimes he gets to the office. I'm getting younger. All right. So sometimes he gets to the office and then tells us his workers that he doesn't see what we do. Sometimes he says a monkey can do what we and the other. And the other workers do. How can I thrive in such an environment? You know, if he's abroad and your boss calls you a monkey, just record it. He has just made you a millionaire. So you record this, then you cry. When you record, you cry. Make sure your crying too is recorded. Then you go and get a lawyer. Have been traumatized. Since he called me a monkey, I cannot sleep. In fact, the few times that I try to sleep, I see a monkey chasing me. The lawyer will get all the money that he has in this world to his next generation. They will take it from him. For emotional. Please, bosses. The fact that we're in Nigeria does not mean we should talk to people anyhow. Let's be respectful of the people who work for us. If you are not careful, if you're a wicked boss, you see that person that is working for you now, eh? One day you will work for that person. Let me tell you this true life story. There's a popular pastor in Lagos who said, during the time when he was schooling and trying to get money for his schooling, he did house boy for one particular woman. So he will clean, he will do all that, and then he'll pay him. He was a teenager at that time. So, years back, of course, he went to school, you know, finished university, he became a pastor. One day, the woman showed up in church. He said, And the woman was so excited that, wow, you become a pastor and all that. I want to start attending your church. She said, very good. I'm glad you are here. I will put you in charge of sanitation. You didn't get that. He said, that cleaning, he did in our house. She too will come and do it now in the house of God. You know, never look down on anybody. You never know what God has in their destiny for them. And the one thing you want them to say about you, if they've ever worked for you, is that you are a good boss. People do not necessarily remember your skills and your technicality. In fact, I went for a training in Harvard. And during the training, they asked all of us to come and, you know, they put certain attributes and all that. That the boss that has had the greatest impact on us, that we still remember the most, that we should come and pick attributes about the boss. Virtually nobody picked anything about skills or technicality or all that. You know the things they were doing? It's kind. It's sensitive. Do you understand? It was things that had to do with touching people's emotions. That's what people will remember you for. It is well with us in Jesus' name. What is it? What is it? Amen. Okay. Let's do like 5 more minutes and we're good. Because I know as some of you are just looking at me like you're just like, Pastor Eje Ajeun. Eje Ajeun, Eje Intutu. Okay, man. How do we caution boys that dress like girls in church? They are what? They are boys. But they are dressing like what? They are dressing like girls. Well, first of all, we tell them that they are dressing like girls. Let me tell you, one time in my school, we employed this boy. And you know, because I traveled a lot, this young man. So after a while, somebody just came and told me reports that, this person we have employed, that he acts like a girl. I said, eh? And he said, you know, one of them was a parent. I said, before his children too will now start emulating this young man, that we better do something. So I said, okay, you know what? I'm going to let the person come and meet me. So when the person was coming, I was watching from the top. And I saw him doing like this. I said, yeah. I said, who employed this person? How did you employ this person? So I called him and I said, I'm so sorry, you know. We know you have your giftings, you've got your talents, but your talents are not for here. He looks sad. I encouraged him. I said, no, don't worry. It's just 2 weeks in. We're going to pay you your full salary and all that, and all that. So I now called the brother. I said, you have to find a way to tell him he's acting like a girl. Maybe he didn't grow up with men. He's acting like a girl. He needs to change. But while he's working on himself, he cannot stay here. Before my little children who come to school and the boys, instead of them walking smart. Let's challenge them. It is not right if you are a boy to be braiding your hair. You're supposed to cut your hair, low cuts. Onishan golon diru. That's how we grew up. We know men who make hair, they are Shango worshippers. Let me tell you, every boy that braids his hair, there's a spirit of Shango following them. That's why I talk out. And you know demons, they are not physical, Abi. Demons are not physical. It's not as if they will appear to you in the natural, but they will express themselves. That demon is expressing itself. That's why you are seeing all that braiding. As a boy, be so confident of being a man. Do you know what it means to be a man? You're already exceptional by being a man. You know you will always be, when you marry, you will always be the head of the home. No matter how talented your wife is, no matter how skilled she is, she will never be the head of your home. You will be the head. God has already placed you above. When you come to this earth and you find out that you're a boy, wow! What great joy. Act like a boy. Dress like a boy. Look like a boy. Talk like a boy with masculine voice. Hallelujah. And he says, what if I try to correct them and the parents are angry? And the parents do need correction. Hallelujah. Pray and bind the spirit of Shango and cast it out. Sorry. It is well with us in Jesus' name. Ma, is it good as a Christian / biblical to reduce your age in your CV just to get a job? No, it is not good. I know one man, he reduced his job, he reduced his age at work, but he never told his wife. So, when he was just in the office one day, hallelujah, and it happened to his birthday, and people were already greeting him, it was his 48th birthday, then the wife showed up with 50th birthday cake. And people began to look at him and say, ah, so actually, Mr. So-and-so reduced his age. So this is, hello. He was so embarrassed, he almost entered the ground. But the wife just wanted to celebrate him. Please tell your real age. Listen to me. The job that is really yours, it will come to you. I tell people, and we've seen this happen again and again. If somebody else takes that job, and the job, the person will not be able to stay there. We've seen this happen again and again. It will be as if they sit on that seat, something is biting, they just, no, this company is not for me. Until they will call you and ask you to come and take the job. Our God is a miracle working God. He knows how he does these things. Amen? If we walk with him with honesty, he will bless us big time. Somebody say big time. No, I say, So it's getting better and bestest and bestest. All right. Good morning, ma. Please, ma, what if you are building and working on your potential? He or she is trying to stop you simply because people in that circle smokes, drinks, and clubs. Okay, if I understand this question well, you are trying to build your potential, but the people who are helping you to build your potential are the people who smoke, they are the people who club, right? And they are the people who drink. A man that works with wise men will be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Show me your friends, and I'll tell you who you are. There are other people who have potential, who have the skills that you want, and they are born again Christians. They are spirit-filled Christians. They are Christians who have good values. Look for those ones. If you pray and you ask other believers, they will help and connect you with those kind of people. It is well with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Say amen, amen, amen. All right, everybody, say good morning, ma. Thank you for your preaching today. I want to ask for a brief session with you after service. I want your phone number / email. I want all the benefits of having to work hard. Thank you for your teaching on good work ethics, ma. Thank you, too, for thanking me. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I am going to ask you, because you see, I may be called and anointed, but I have my very, very good bosom friend who is even more anointed than me. That is Reverend Kemi Amoson. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you meet with her after the service, she will give you further directions. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Lift you to heights that you cannot imagine.
Amen.
May you not just be a local success. May you be a global success. In the mighty name of
Thank
Jesus.
You. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. What an anniversary. What's anniversary for? Down, enjoy yourself. We are discussing work. You know your pastor. We always want the best. I want us to set the pace this year that when the country is going down, we can say we are going up. That whatever we do, you know, in those days, the only way you know Christians is not by the way they look or the Bible they carry. It's their character that they display where they are, particularly the character of generosity and dedication to other lives. And where do we show that one more than anything else? It's in the family and at work. Praise the Lord. I know people say, you work, they won't pay you anything. Remember that place he read? Whatever good any man does, the same he will receive from the Lord. Are we blessed today? Can we clap our hands for Jesus?